Amen. God is so good. Amen. He is good all the time. I want to welcome you to Parish Christian Center. And I always like to give people a little disclaimer before I preach. There's some people that haven't heard me. And I just want to tell you that we're going to keep it very real here. I've been in the ministry my entire life. And there is no reason that any pastor should get behind a pulpit and fake it till you make it. That is very confusing in your life, and you're not going to fake anything, but what you'll do is confuse yourself. And so I want to welcome you here. I realize you could be at any church in Logan County, so I want to thank you for coming to Parish Christian Center. And if you don't hear another word that I have to say this morning, I want you to know that God cares about you. God cares about you. God sees exactly where you're at. He knows every single tear that's rolled down your cheek this week. He knows every bit of anxiety, every bit of stress, every bit of grief. He knows it. He's counted every tear. He's collected them in his bottle. I'm going to ask you to stand right now. We stand every single Sunday. I want to tell the people that are watching on Facebook Live, this includes you. I'm going to ask you to get off of that couch and give God what's due him, which is his praise. Amen. We stand every single Sunday, and we stand because let it always be a reminder that God has made you well able to stand. Everything in this week has tried to knock you down. Your health may be failing you. Your job may be getting on your nerves. Your stress may be rising, but I want you to know that God is still on the throne. He is still God, and because of that, you're standing. If God woke you up this morning and you're breathing, that's reason enough for you to stand. If you've had a rough week, I'm going to ask you to begin to raise your hands. Why, Pastor Kelly? Because, see, God wants to take that burden off of you right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, all over the place, Lord, for every person watching on their live right now, God, I ask that you would meet them right where they're at. God, for every person here, God, and they're struggling, Lord, in their life, you know exactly where. God, I thank you that you're meeting them right where they're at. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person. God, for every street in Logan County, I plead the blood of Jesus over it right now. God, for every inmate in Logan County, I plead the blood of Jesus over them. God, I ask that you would go down, sing every single pod, Lord, every heart, God, that's in prison right now. Lord, I ask that you'd minister hope to them. And Lord, I give you this service right now, God, and I tell you to have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Y'all may be seated. I'm excited about the word this morning. And I always preach out of the overflow of my life because it's what I know. I don't know how to be a plumber. YouTube did not do a good job at helping me do that. But I do know what I experience in my life. I can't preach about your life, but what I can do is I can preach out of my life, and that's how we keep it real. That's how we keep it relevant. You're never going to get me up here talking about this denomination or that denomination. If you're Catholic in here, I want to tell you that you're welcome. If you're Baptist in here, I want to tell you that you're welcome. If you're a Presbyterian or Methodist, I want you to know that you're welcome here. This is an interdenominational ministry. It was founded in 1987, and it will always be that. Amen. This is a real church. Amen. I don't see where Jesus is going to get us up there and say, okay, now, all you Catholic folks, you get over here. All you Baptists, you get over here. All the ones in between, you get right here. He's going to say, did you know Jesus? Did you know me? Did you have a relationship with me? And so because of that, that's the only concern that I have. So I just am happy to be here. I'm happy to be your pastor. And I just want to tell each and every single person here, under the sound of my voice, God knows where you're at. He really, really does. He knows where you're struggling today. And he knows just right where to meet you. And he knows when he's going to let that breakthrough come through. I want to minister to you this morning on specific prayers. Specific prayers. Specific prayers. Each Christian, each believer, each child of God should have a prayer life where they walk with Jesus, where they talk with Jesus, where they pray. Now, a lot of things get lost in translation, but here is what is not a prayer. Lord, my back hurts. I'm irritated today. My kids are getting on my nerves. My husband's getting on my nerves. Lord, I'm getting on my own nerves. God, the bills are due. I don't know how the heck I'm going to get them paid. Lord, my right toe, I think I stubbed it and I cussed at the dog this morning. That is not a prayer, okay? A prayer is not a list of your problems. But yet, so many Christians, they think that is a prayer. It's not. That's a problem list. Amen? What is going to help you in your life is if you will develop and cultivate and grow a prayer life. So many people think I've got to know Jesus for 30 years before I can really pray a good prayer. No, because see, the Word of God says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And I don't know about y'all, but God has saved me from myself many times. When I was 7 years old, I knelt down on our couch and I asked Jesus into my heart. But angel, God has saved me many times past then. But you got to have a prayer life. You got to have that communication with God. I was at an event, and I love events. I was at one this week, and they said, Pastor Kelly, will you pray and bless the new Walmart? And I said, I sure will. How many of you love Walmart? Kim is my favorite checker at Walmart. Kim, if you're watching, I love you. My mom said, Kelly, you're making me famous in the small town of Paris. Every time I go to Walmart, they ask if you're my daughter. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I went there in my slippers this morning because there is no way on God's green earth I'm going to Walmart in these things because I'd break my neck. I had 14 minutes to go in there and get a ream of paper so y'all could have these bulletins. Now, look, if you came to this church to be all uptight, this ain't going to be the place for you. All right? Because we're just going to keep it real. How many of you have ever gone to a quick trip at Walmart? I was praying the whole way there. I had my blue slippers. God, in Jesus' name. See, specific prayers. Lord, in Jesus' holy, precious name, do not let me see anybody that I know here in Walmart. Because I know this ain't going to get. God, not only do I not want to see anybody I know, Lord, please don't let there be anybody down that aisle to get up in my way because I have 14 minutes to get this paper, go back to my house, run this off, and get back to church so I'm not late for the board meeting. Specific prayers. If you're praying for a spouse, here's what not to pray. Lord, give me a man. Because guess what, Dwayne? Got to give that old girl just any old thing. Right? This is my brother. We've grown up together. If you're praying for a man, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, let him know you, first of all. Let him be acquainted with you. Let him know you on a personal level. God, let him have a job. A J-O-B, or let him be retired and very well stable. However it works for you, girls. God, not only do I want him to be financially stable, but Lord, please let him not be a loser.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen.
Now, this may be offensive to you. And if it is, you're going to have to get over your religious self. Because this is not a religious church. This is a Jesus church. God, I like to go out to fancy places, and I want him to be able to do that. Lord. Specific prayers. God, let him be a man of God and let him pray with me. Lord, let him love me, but not more than he loves you. God, I need a job. This is one that everybody messes up on. God, I need a job. You get your job. What do you do? Gripe about it the whole time. Now, if there's anybody doing this, yes, this message is for you. I have people get me in the back and get all offended. I know you were preaching at me. How dare you preach something relevant like my job? Get over yourself. Lord, I want a job. God, give me a job. Lord, put me at the right place at the right time. God, I don't want to make minimum wage because, God, you said that I could have whatever I asked you for. So, God, right now, in Jesus' name, and name your price. God, help me in my everyday life. Lord, when that anxiety wants to come over me like a flood, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for that standard that you're raising up in my life that blocks every bit of anxiety, that wipes out that fear, that makes me know that I'm on a firm foundation for you. See, you best be praying some very specific prayers. Kenneth Copeland said, if you're praying for nothing in particular, then that's what you're going to get, nothing in particular. Amen. Let's go to Matthew this morning. We're going to look at chapter 20 and verse 29 through 34. And we are talking this morning about specific prayers. Specific prayers. Once again, if you are on your couch this morning, I want to invite you to come in to the building. But get your Bible out and read along, because church is not a spectator sport. You have to be proactive, because after all, you are the church. So in Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to begin at verse 29, and it says here, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him, and two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Now, let me tell you something about your prayer life. General, vague prayers are not going to get you anywhere. General, vague prayers are not going to get you anywhere. Jesus, help me. Well, with what? What do you need help with? God, heal me. Of what? See, every single problem, every infirmity, every battle, it has a name. And that's why the Word of God says there is a name above every single name. If your battle is called cancer, then call it out. Why? Because the Word of God says if anybody has faith as small as a mustard seed, and you will speak to that mountain and tell it to go, cast itself into the sea, it'll be moved. But see, you can't do that if you don't know the Word. Listening to me for 45 minutes is not going to get you saved. It's not going to get you saved. It's not going to keep you saved. And it's not going to get you into heaven. Having a prayer life and working out your own salvation, that's what's getting you into heaven. General, vague prayers are not going to cut it for you. Call it by name. You know how many times in a week I have to call out anxiety in my own life? See, most pastors won't get up here and tell you, I have anxiety issues. Why? Because they think that they want to look like to their congregation that they're perfect. Look here, I'm going to tell you I'm not perfect. I'm a human being. And when I get stressed, anxiety wants to creep up in my life. And what I have to do it is I have to speak the word, Jill, that says, cast all your cares because he cares for you. What do? When I begin to pray, I say, God, in Jesus' name, I know that you care for me because your word tells me that you care for me. So God, right now, I'm going to cast the anxiety that I have about my children, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I cast down anxiety that wants to come over me with the church things and with the church folks and all the problems in their lives. God, I cast that anxiety down right now in Jesus' name. God, the anxiety about my own personal life that I have, God, right now, I call that thing out and I cast it down right now. See, what are you doing in your life? What are you doing in your prayer life? See, you're either calling out specific prayers or you're speaking in generalities and you're giving God a problem list. And as your pastor, it's my job to help you be the most successful in your prayer life that you can possibly be. When I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling rude and aggravated and like a jerk, because I can feel that way too, right? I do. I pray, God, please help me behave myself today. I'm feeling a bad attitude coming on me. Lord, that's not from you. So God, right now, I ask that you'd put a right spirit inside of me and help me to be a blessing. But God, I want to be a blessing in a certain kind of way. See, when you go and take food to elderly people on Monday, I can be a jerk and say, here's your food. I don't want to visit with you. Or I can say, here's your food. God bless you. Do you need prayer for anything? Because, see, God has carved out a moment in time for us to have this conversation right now. What can God do for you, and what can we pray about? Specific prayers. Specific prayers. So in Matthew chapter 20, we're going to look in verse 29. And these two blind people, they said, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Well, Jesus is going, concerning what? Concerning what? You know, one of the biggest questions that I always hate to be asked is this. Pastor Kelly, will you do me a favor? I've learned to say that really just depends on what it is. Because tyranny, you know how much trouble I've gotten myself in the past 3.5 years by telling people I was going to do them a favor? I have ended up in more courtrooms than I cared to be in. Let me tell you something. I was never, ever in court until I became a pastor. And in my young pastor moments in the beginning, I thought, I need to support my church folks, and I need to go to court with them. And I got in that courtroom, and I started looking around, and I thought, where's my purse? Where's my valuables? God, what am I up in the middle of? Lord, I don't think you called me to go to court today with these folks. God, you don't want me there, do you? Lord, in Jesus' name, help me to have discernment and tell me what to go to and what not to go to. Amen. When I was growing up, my dad always told us this one thing. Well, he told us a lot of things, but here's the one I'm going to repeat today. He said, girls, your life is so precious to God, and it's precious to me and your mother. Do not get in a car with someone until you know that God tells you that it's okay to get in that car with them. What does the word say? Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You know how many accidents and problems that the devil has orchestrated for your life just in today? Specific prayers. Specific prayers. What is God wanting you to do when you get in your car? Say, God, in Jesus' name, I'm on my way to work. Lord, I ask you right now to keep me safe. Lord, not only keep me safe, but every vehicle that I pass, God, I plead the blood of Jesus over them, and I ask that you'd show them who you are today. God, don't let them have an accident either. Specific prayers. Specific prayers. Let's continue to read. I prayed this morning. I said, Lord, these shoes are the only things that look like they're going to go with this outfit. Now, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, please help me to be able to do this. Walk in these shoes for 45 minutes because they are the bomb. They got studs on them. They're clear. Katie, are they great? They're great. I hope y'all appreciate all the effort I go through to be the best-looking pastor in Logan County. Now, once again, that is a joke. If you can't handle laughing in church, then you must have grown up in a bad kind of way where it wasn't acceptable to laugh in church. And I'm just going to tell you, you best laugh in Parish Christian Center because life gets very real, real quick. And there's a lot of things you could cry over, but God wants you to have joy. So let's continue reading Matthew chapter 20. And he said, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And in verse 31, the crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. But they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And in verse 32, Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Here are two blind people sitting on the road. You know, the word says that before you even pray a prayer that God heard you, that he's heard you from the moment that you prayed it, but he knows what you need before you even ask him. But then notice the word also says, You have not because you ask not. Well, I'm going to say that one more time. The Word says that He knows what you need before you even pray that prayer. And the Word also says, you have not because you ask not. Specific prayers. Specific prayers. So He said, what do you want me to do for you? Have you ever seen a blind person? Anybody ever seen a blind person? How many of you knew they were blind? Okay, so did Jesus. But He asked them, what do y'all want? What do you want? They could have said anything. And He was prepared to do it in that moment. He could have assumed what they wanted, what they needed. But see, when it comes to you and your prayer life, you got to get down and dirty. You got to be a part of your prayer life. Because see, ain't nobody praying these prayers over your life the best but you. And so, Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Specific prayers. Specific calling out to God what you want, what you need. We want our sight. And Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And I want to tell you something. So many people have God all wrong, and they think that God is some mean God, judgmental God, ready to just beat you over the head because you made mistakes. Look here. God's not near as concerned about your mistakes as He's concerned. You know what? What is this person going to do when I get them out of the next mess that they get in? There's two different kinds of people in the world when you really break it down. There's people that can learn from experience, and there's people that have to keep on having them bad experiences one time after another after another after another. The problem is not when you make mistakes. The problem is when you continue to make the same ones, right? Specific prayers. What do y'all want? Well, we want our sight. He touched them and He gave them their sight. But what does it say? He had compassion on them. He felt for the other person. So many times when we are praying for others, in our prayer life, we're praying for people. And we're not even thinking about what we're saying for those people. Specific prayers. If you've got loved ones and they're driving you nuts, how many of you got those? How many of you are praying for them? Pray specific prayers. Lord God, in Jesus' name, have compassion on my loved one. And God, help them right now. Lord, I don't know what's going on with them. God, help me not to be judgmental about those people that I love so much. God, you know exactly what it's going to take for them to have that moment with you. God, just like I did. Just like I did. So, God, I ask you right now, Lord, to send a laborer out and to minister to that person that I love so much. Specific prayers. Specific prayers. I was at a function a while back, and they said, will you pray over the community? It's National Prayer Day. I said, I sure will. Look here, my daddy, he'd pray in the produce section. He'd pray at the funerals. He'd be like, they're dead. Don't worry about them. I'm worried about all y'all. He said some of the craziest stuff at funerals, but it got people's attention. And everybody had like a scroll that they were praying these prayers, and I thought, I'm going to wing it. Because look here, I ain't going to rehearse no prayers. This one guy got up there, and 20 minutes later, he was still praying, and I got confused. I was like, are we still praying? My brain can't handle those type of prayers. I mean, my God in heaven. I needed a dictionary, a thesaurus, or whatever you call them things, thesaurus, whatever. Hearing half of what he said, I didn't even know what it was. And I was like, I need a college degree to interpret this prayer. God, I'm going to keep it real simple. What was I praying over? Community and family? Praise God. Lord, in Jesus' name, sweep over Logan County. God, don't leave any street out. God, help the saved and help the unsaved. God, help us to live with integrity. God, help us as humans. God, don't let us be judgmental. Lord, help Logan County in every single way that you see fit. See, specific prayers. Specific prayers. Not general prayers. Not problem lists. Can you tell God your problems? Yes, you can, and he wants to hear them. But he also wants you, he wants you to know what you want him to do about them. I used to have a boss, and she really helped me to learn how to pray some very specific prayers. And God used her a lot in my life to shape the type of woman that I am today. And I would come in there with a problem. And I would tell her the problem. And she would go, okay, what do you want me to do about it? I would be like, huh, well, I didn't think Pastor's the telling you about it. What do you want from God? Now, we know that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. But do you have an idea of what direction your life, you want that thing to go? A lot of people don't even have an idea of where they want their life headed. Pray some specific prayers. And so it says here, and he had compassion on them. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Immediately. Immediately. Let's go now to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 5. We're going to read some. So Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to begin at verse 5, and it says this, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Verse 7, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." He knows what you need before you ask him. But the word still says, pray about it. Make your request known to God about it. This then is how you should pray. And you know, this prayer is so specific, and we're going to read it today. Verse 9, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done." See, when you're praying about a matter, you know, what I've learned to do is when I'm praying, Miss Sherry, I'm saying, "God, right now I lay before you every bit of what I have to say about this problem. God, I'm asking you to do this, this, and this." But God, at the end of the day, your will be done. When you're praying and you're praying specific prayers, Angel, what we have to learn to do at the end of it, God, your will be done. Your will be done. You're going to have God's will for your life or your own will for your life. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's some more specific prayer. Give us today our daily bread. So many people, when they're praying about all of the future stuff. And that, what is that going to do? I'm not saying don't ever pray about your future. Don't take it out of context. But what I'm saying is this right here. Pray about today. You can't get to tomorrow until you address today. Pray about today. Pray about today. And pray specifically for today. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgiveness has never been easy for me. Anybody else that have trouble forgiving? It's hard. There's something about forgiving somebody real good that makes me feel like I'm losing. And I'm hard-headed and I like to win. And I'll fight to the death about it. And I used to feel like when I forgave them, I was letting them off the hook and that they needed to still suffer for what they did. Anybody else like that? Well, thank God we can keep it real, right? You can change if you can keep it real. But the more and more, Jill, that I grow in God, I just say, you know what, God? Let that spirit of forgiveness, let it really rule my life. Because, God, there is no person on this planet, there's no problem on the face of the earth that is worth having a grudge over and missing out on answered prayers. Specific prayers. We're talking about specific prayers today. But there is one of the things that is a prayer answered killer is unforgiveness. If you want to walk in unforgiveness, you best be ready to start looking at your life. Because let me tell you something. The Word says, forgive as I have forgiven you. And when we want to sit here and qualify people, whether or not they're good enough for us to forgive them, you're on very dangerous ground. Because you always have to go back to the Word. And the Word gives you very detailed instructions. We serve a very detailed God. And that's why when you pray, you need to pray in great detail as much as you can. Because God is a detailed God. Why do you think He set the days out? And He said, on this day, we're only going to do this. On this day, we're only going to do that. On the seventh day, I'm going to make sure I rest. Because we serve an awesome God, and He cares about every detail in your life. And when you want to hold a grudge against somebody, you're going to have some of your prayers not answered. You're opening the door for Satan to come into your life and to do three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Unforgiveness is killing you from the inside out. And it's hard to forgive. I think forgiveness is, for me, Paul, forgiveness is the hardest thing for me to do. Forgiveness and letting it go. Those are the two devils in my life. It's hard for me to let it go and it's hard for me to forgive. But Angel, on my very bad days when I think that I can't forgive somebody, I go back to the Word and I read it again until it's gotten in my soul to where I can lay it down. And I say, God, You said that I had to forgive the way that You forgave me. So God, right now, help me to forgive just like You forgave me. Because God, I remember that one time when I did such and such, and after you forgave me for it, You never brought it up. How did He forgive you? How did He forgive you? Does God bring up all your dirty laundry once you ask for forgiveness about it? No. How much do we do that to other people? Well, I love you, but... Well, no, you save your butts. Everybody's got one. You save that for somebody that cares about that. You keep your butts. Because if you're putting that on the end of sentences, you don't love that person more than the man in the moon. You either love them or you don't. Right? I know that's shocking. I love you, but you did this, this, and this 17 years ago, 3 days and 2 seconds ago. And I love you, and I'm a Christian person, but no. How's that working for you? It ain't working. If you can still call up details about 10, 12, 15 years ago, 30 years ago, you best go back to the drawing board and just ask God, Lord, have I really forgiven that person? One time I was in Walmart. This was in my early 30s. Everybody always wonders how old the pastor is. I'm 37, okay? I'm not going to tell you how much I weigh. We're not going there, but I'm 37 years old. That's about all. And no, this is not my natural hair color. I don't know what is. No idea. But one day I was up in Walmart, And I saw somebody coming. I don't even really know the person real well. I just knew I didn't like them. It was somebody that way back in the day caused our family a lot of grief. And when they did that, I was probably about 4 or 5 years old. This is no lie. I caught them right around the milk aisle. I was hateful as I could be to him. They said, "Hey, Kelly." And I just slammed that milk thing and I said, "Hey." I just went on about my business. Hey, me and the milk aisle heifer. I got in my car and Jesus gave me a talking to. I said, "Kelly, do you even know why you don't like that person?" I said, "I got no idea. I know back in the 80s they were jerks to my family, and just because of that I'm going to be a jerk to them." Now, Kelly, you've got some real big prayers that you're asking me for. You want a manna center, and you want the food ministry to grow, and you know you want your children to be taken care of and safe, and all these things that you're asking me to do, but you're having a forgiveness problem. I said, "God, that part of me just ain't saved yet. Well, that ain't working for God. Look here, when God saved me when I was 7 years old, Casey, I'm sure that he saved me. My salvation is the thing that has kept me all this time." And when you pray, church, pray specific prayers. But also when you're praying, check your heart, check your soul. If there's somebody in there you need to let loose and forgive them, and you're having trouble to doing that, God understands that. And just pray. Invite God into that place where it's difficult for you to forgive them. I've had people that have hurt me very deeply, and I thought I could never get through that. Look here, God got me through it. He got me through it to a point where when I get on my knees, I ask God to bless that person. I ask God to minister healing to that person. God, give them more than enough. Lord, you know the desires of their heart. So God, right now, I ask that you'd give them the desires of their heart. Forgive. Forgive. Get those prayers answered. Don't be somebody that sits in a church pew thinking you're good just because you showed up to church. No, church alone ain't going to do nothing for you. A walking, talking relationship with God is getting you everywhere. Let's go now to Mark chapter 11. We're ministering today on specific prayers. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him." After you pray the specific prayer, the next step for you is to make sure that that heart believes that God can do what you've asked for. I have been right in the middle of praying prayers. And in the next breath going, "Well, that ain't going to happen." God, help it not to snow today, or God, help this, or God, please do this for me. And then in the next breath, I'm going, "That ain't never going to happen." And you're doubting almost instantaneously after you say that prayer. When you are asking God for something, you must believe that he can do it. And people, where they get hung up on is this right here. "Well, so-and-so says that can't happen for me. Well, the government said that because I've done this, this, and this, well, this can't happen. Well, my boss said that there's no way that this can happen. Well, this thing over here, look here." It don't matter what anybody says except for God. What did God tell you? If God told you yes, then it's a done deal. It's done. But people get hung up on over what is normal. Well, it's not normal for the money to come through right then, or this ain't normal, or this ain't going to happen until that. Look here. There is no normal. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in divine appointments. Divine appointments. So in let's continue on here. Mark chapter 11. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, whatever you ask for in prayer. So that tells you right there, you got to start asking for specifics. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Here's the catch. Verse 25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him. Forgive. That unforgiveness is messing up your prayer life. It's messing up your life. You're giving the devil a foothold into your life. You can't afford that. Who in here is asking God for big things in your life? Who in here is asking things from God that only God can do? You cannot afford to hold a grudge. You cannot afford to walk in unforgiveness. You cannot. I'm preaching this first and foremost to myself. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. You must believe that what you've asked for, you can receive it. I tell this story a couple weeks ago, about a year ago, a little bit over a year ago. I went to an auction, and I was pretty sure that the church was going to purchase another building. And I could never get a moment of clarity whether that's what God wanted for us or not. But what I knew was that there was a need for another building because of the food ministry that God birthed in the middle of chaos called the pandemic. So I knew there was a need. So, Angel, in my natural thinking, I tried to figure it out. Look here. What God has for you, your natural thinking about that thing, if you'll lay that down and just say, God, whatever your will is, I'll take it. It's going to be better than what you could have ever conjured up. So I went to the auction and I said, God, without you, I'm a real dummy. So please make this abundantly clear whether or not we're supposed to have this building, because I still have no clarity over this situation. We get to the auction. Who's been to an auction? Okay. They talk so fast. I'm like, what number are we on? There was this one dude. He bit it against his own self because he couldn't understand it either. I was like, oh, I'm going to mess this up for sure. He started talking about that building. And before I knew it, tyranny, I blinked and it was over and I didn't get it. And I walked out of there saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then I realized that I didn't get it. And then I got irritated. I didn't get it? See, sometimes God ain't going to give you what you asked for, because what you asked for wasn't right for you. We'll say that one more time. Sometimes God won't give you what you asked for, because what you asked for wasn't right for you. But he knows what you need. And God is so faithful, he'll give you what you need instead of what you asked for. And then I got agitated, tyranny, because I was like, I didn't get that. Now what am I going to do? I don't see any other buildings around. I was just being a real brat. God said, Kelly, you need to be happy for that person that got that, because there's a beautiful ministry going to come out of that. You need to pray for that person. You can have a bad attitude about that. God worked with me for 2 weeks about that. By the end of that 2 weeks, I was saying, Lord, if there is anything I can do to help that person in that ministry, God, you let me do that. I was all about it. I got my attitude right. Well, got the call about the Manna Center. Pastor Kelly, are you sitting down? Oh, boy. Yeah, hold on. Let me grab a chair. I don't want any bad news while I'm standing up. I've had enough of that. Let me sit down. Hold on. You just got the largest grant in the state of Arkansas. And I want to tell you something. Specific prayers. Because in the beginning of praying for another building, I said, Lord, let it be paid for. Let it be paid for. Because God, whatever you order, you pay for it. You need to be as specific as you can possibly be in your prayer life. Specific. Philippians chapter 4. Chapter 4 through 9. And I want to thank those young people up in the sound booth today. You guys are doing awesome. Thank you so much. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. See, when the prayer hasn't been answered yet, you're supposed to be rejoicing. When it still looks bad, you're still supposed to be rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be evident to all. See, some people, they like to turn into the mafia when they don't get prayers answered. And look here, you're not going to bully God. And God's not going to let you bully other people. Let your gentleness about that situation, let it be evident to all. The Lord is near. Sometimes when you're really deep down and you're praying for something and you're really stressing about that, there's a little thing that the devil does, and he makes you feel isolated, and he makes you feel like God is very far off from you. I want to tell you, if you'll get your prayer life and start praying more specific prayers, you're not going to wonder if God's there. You're going to start thanking him, God, I can feel you. God, I know that you're there. So it says, the Lord is near. And in verse 6, this is a very important thing. Do not be anxious about anything. Everybody say anything. Once again, I hinge my life on this verse. Do not be anxious about anything. There's a lot of things that when you put your head down at night, you could be anxious as heck about, right? Exactly. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. What are you requesting for God? See, stop giving him a problem list. Give him requests. Lord, my back is hurting today. God, reach inside of that back and make me whole. See, what are you requesting? The word says, make your requests known. And then, everybody say then, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, there's an order in which things need to be done. But in everything, by prayer and petition, specific prayers, and with thanksgiving. How do you pray? God, thank you right now that, Lord, this problem that I'm having, you're resolving it. God, I ask that your will would be done in this situation. And you begin to name out specific things, specific details. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. See, after you've prayed and after you've cast down those anxieties, because the Bible said, don't have anxiety about anything. Say, okay. Lord, I invite your peace right now. When that mind doesn't want to shut off at night, sometimes this is how I fall asleep. This little thing in between my two ears doesn't want to shut off. God, help me. Shut it off, Lord. God, I know there's nothing more I can do for anybody today So, Lord, stop this worrying in my heart and in my mind. God, the overthinking that's been going on all day, God, correct that in me. Lord, I ask that you would correct it. Let's go to James chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. We're going to look at this. I'm going to look at it in the King James Version. And it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. We did that one time in the 80s on the square. We had a confess your faults to one another service. Didn't we, Dad? How did it go? I remember that. We were on the square and warned we had a confess your faults service. That is the one service no pastor needs to have, because when you hear everything that everybody's been doing, there ain't no way you're going to bed after that. But the Word says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does that mean? They stand. When nothing else, Sherry, is standing in your life, that prayer that you prayed is going to be effective. But did you pray it specifically? The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It'll stand tall when everything else has gone to heck. How effective is your prayer life? How effective is it? If you're not having a bunch of things going on in your prayer life, you need to ask God. You need to pray and say, Lord, why is my prayer life not being as effective as I want it to be? And God will show you. And it says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. See, he prayed a specific prayer. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. That's how effective that your prayer life can be. It didn't rain till he said it was time to rain again. And yet we wonder if God can keep us safe in the car when we go to Fort Smith or something. Yes, he can. God says that if you'll ask me for it in prayer and believe me for it and it lines up with my will, I'm going to answer that. You best be praying those specific prayers. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. It didn't rain again till he said for it to, till he prayed for it to. That's how effective in his prayers that he was. Is your prayer life effective? And are you praying specifically? I used to not know a whole bunch about specific praying, but what I can say is walking and talking with Jesus every day has gotten me to be more specific. Things that I have been through in my life, hard things, Kayla, has made me more specific. How many of you have been through some hard things in your life? Hard blows. Hard blows. Let me tell you something. Pray specifically. Everybody I know right now is struggling and they're going through something difficult. God knows it. Pray specifically. About 3.5 years ago, I had a breakthrough in my prayer life and I've never been the same. And I was walking through my house. And the reason I can minister about depression is because I know it, because I've lived it. And I was walking through my house and I was telling God, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is really bad. He said, Kelly, get on your knees. And Rocky, I got on my knees. He said, lift your hands. And I lifted my hands. And I said, God, I'm so weary. I don't even know what to pray. But That's how rough it can get. That's how weary you can get. You won't even know what to pray. I said, God, I don't even know what to pray, but God, I'm here. He said, Kelly, open up your mouth. And Rocky, I began to pray and I didn't even know what I was saying. He said, Kelly, you pray that the angels of conviction go to that person and bring them. And I began to pray. And Kayla, all through my house, the whole house lit up and I could feel the wave. And at that time, Angel, I thought that was grief. I thought it was a wave of grief. And God later showed me, Kelly, that was just the Holy Spirit entering into that situation. Let me tell you something. God knows where you are at. He knows it best. He knows where you're at more than you know where you're at. And it doesn't matter if it's the worst that it's ever been. If you'll be a fervent, effectual, specific, praying type of believer, God will do things for you that you've never even heard of Him doing. God can do anything that you ask Him to. But can you pray it right? Can you specific? Can you call out details? Last place for me this morning, 1 John chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 14 through 15. And there's a way to go about praying, and here it is. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, last verses for me this morning. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God. See, when you approach God, God wants you to be confident. He wants to give you a confidence. He wants you to be confident. Angel, if we had to go to God and we had to ask God for things and we weren't sure He could do it, that would get us nowhere. But see, God has the ability to do what you're asking Him to do. So this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. I'm going to read that one more time. Because, see, God really would like somebody to get a hold of that this morning. You've been stressing. You've been worrying. You've been hurting. You've been crying. God wants you to hear this one more time. So here we go. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. God is saying to some of y'all, ask me. But when you ask, be as specific as you can. I want to pray for that person today. You say, God, I want my prayer life to be better. There's some things that they're just not coming through. And Lord, I want those things answered. I want those prayers answered. Lord, there's been a blocking in my prayer life. And God, I want You to show me what it is. And God, I want my prayer life to be more effective. I want You to stand right where You're at. Because see, you can ask God for wisdom and He'll give you wisdom. You can ask God for answered prayers and He'll give you answered prayers. How effective do you want to be? If you're in your home right now and you're watching and this is for you, I'm going to ask you to get up off of that couch and stand up. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, You see every person that has responded to Your word, God, and they need Your help in this area. Lord, right now, I thank You, God, that every prayer life that's represented here today, God, You create it to be more effective than it's ever been before in the lives of Your children. God, I ask You right now that if there's anything blocking prayers, God, I ask that You would reveal it to them right now. Lord, if there's anything about their lives that they need to change, God, I ask that You'd let them see what those things are. And God, I thank you for breakthrough right now. I call it in, Lord, from the north and the east and the south and the west. I call breakthrough in. Answered prayer, God. Miracles. You still do them, God. So I'm asking them for you right now, Lord. And we thank you that you've done all these things, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'd like for our deacons to go back and get out all those things that we've talked about. We've got lots of good